It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Thank you very much, the Meany sisters. Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? 51551 ray at rte.ie. News from San Diego Zoo, ladies and gentlemen. The great apes have been vaccinated. So there. I don't know how I feel about that. Here we are. 3% of the population been vaccinated. Everyone's been criticised about the slow rollout of the vaccination. And the great apes in San Diego Zoo have got the vaccination. And I don't know if the goats in Llandudno have got vaccinated. I doubt it very much. But you might remember we spoke to a guy called Mark Richards. You probably don't remember it. Anyway, he was in a hotel in Llandudno called Lansdowne House. And he took a great picture of mountain goats roaming the streets. This was at the beginning of lockdown last year. Well, they're back. The famous mountain goats are clearly in need of some retail therapy because Will Roberts pictured them outside Primark in Llandudno on Wednesday. Primark is Pennies, yeah? So they were outside Pennies in Llandudno. Unfortunately for them, because Primark is deemed to be a non-essential retail outlet, it was closed. So they're looking a little bit bemused. They probably were going to go straight to the kids section. All right, yeah. All right, they were probably looking for some kid gloves. They'd be cheap now because we're out of the winter into the spring. Definitely not going to men's grooming because we all know that goats don't shave. Sorry about that. It's Friday. Come on. Anyway, great picture there from Will Roberts of the mountain goats outside Primark in Llandudno. I just like saying Llandudno. Vicky Phelan spoke to us on Monday. And if you missed that, you might listen back to it on your walk over the weekend. We had some great chats this week, actually. And one that was with Vicky from Maryland in the USA. And things seemed to be going really well for her. And she was telling us about March 23rd being D-Day for her, because that's when she gets a scanned. When she gets scanned, and she'll know if the treatment, the trial treatment she's undergoing at the moment has worked on March 23rd. Anyway, she was back onto us and she said that Ray O'Brien, a neighbour of hers from Moon Coin, down there in southern tip of Kilkenny, or is it in County Waterford? It's on the border there, has written a song about Vicky, inspired by Vicky. And she just wants us to tell you that it's out there, and it's all in aid of Heroes Aid. So we'll just play a little bit of it. Here we go.
True born defender, others never knew. When the days were filled with darkness, you cried but saw them through. But your words and love inspired us while your world was torn apart. You shone a light for all to see, the love light in your heart.
There you go. And that's Ray O'Brien and his song inspired by Vicky Phelan. And all sales of that are going to Heroes Aid. And I believe you can buy it down in Moon Coin. We don't know where else you can buy it. And that's not a great quality version of it. That's the only one we had. So apologies there. But that's it. I've told you about it. Now, you've probably heard about the podcast Where is George Gibney, which is put together by Mark Horgan. And Kieran Cassidy, who used to work here, and it's under the umbrella of Second Captains, and it got huge attention before Christmas. Well, the good news for them, and we want to say congratulations to them, is that the Oscars for podcasts, they've been nominated for an award in that. So, you know, podcasting is a global thing. There's over a million podcasts out there, and the people who award the Oscars for podcasts have decided that George Gibney deserves to be nominated. So congratulations, lads. And just on that, Gary O'Toole, who is a main feature throughout the podcasts, is in with us on Monday. So we're going to be talking to Gary because he was the main whistleblower behind George Gibney and other swimming coaches who perpetrated heinous crimes back in the day. So we'll be talking to Gary on Monday. Now, what else is going on in the world? Are you looking forward to the big interview? It's on RT2 on Monday, but it's on CBS in the States on Sunday night. Oprah Winfrey sitting down with Prince Harry and Meghan, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. And it's seemingly it was done over 2 days, according to Hello magazine. And it's one-on-one first, Oprah with Meghan, and then Harry joins them. And as predicted, Oprah is seemingly very upset that James Corden got to interview Harry first. But it's a big event. It's a big TV event. It was originally supposed to be a 90-minute thing. Now it's been pushed out to a two-hour special on CBS. And a 30-second ad slot in the middle of it all would cost you $200,000. I don't know how many ads there are, but it means millions and millions of dollars just on that two-hour slot for CBS. And seemingly, the couple didn't get paid for it. So they want to put, I suppose, the record straight and put their version of events out there. And as we've seen already, Buckingham Palace are putting their version of events. So there's a war of words going on. But the big thing is that Oprah's saying it's no holds barred. And there's a lot of honesty in this. I'm just wondering, where would you get the furniture? Because our outdoor furniture is looking the worst for wear. We've had it in nearly 15 years now, so it's need to change. And that looks very nice. I'm just looking at the picture here. The reason they chose, listen to this now, this is a bit of gossip for you. The reason they chose an outside setting as opposed to a studio setting for the interview is that they were advised that the garden setting with the trees and the shrubbery and the garden furniture and the nice cushions would foster trust. So you're more likely to get an open interview in that situation than you are in a studio situation. So there you go. There are the things to think of. Mad. I wonder how many people watch it. We were looking there to see the most watched interviews in the history of television. Would you have any idea now what's the most watched interview in the history of television? Well, I can tell you at number five was an interview with Bill and Hillary Clinton. That must have been after the Monica Lewinsky thing. 40 million people watched that. Richard Nixon, the David Frost Richard Nixon, there's been a movie about that. 45 million people watched that. Michael Jackson and Lisa Marie Presley interviewed by Diane Sawyer. 60 million people watched that on Primetime Live. Monica Lewinsky interviewed by Barbara Walters in the States. 70 million people watched that. And the most watched interview, according to this information, ever on TV, 90 million people watched Oprah Winfrey sit down with Michael Jackson back in 1993. And of course, they didn't know what we know now about Michael Jackson. So that's that. 16 million have already watched Harry with James Corden. So people want to see them. I don't get it. I honestly, I don't know why I don't get it. I don't care. I honestly don't care. But I know people do. That's why I'm giving you all this information. I don't. I care more about the emails we get into ray@rte.ie. Like this one from Clare. And that's not the county. It's a woman called Clare. She's in Dublin, as far as I know. As I cleaned my son's lunchbox this evening, Ray, I went through that ritual I didn't realise I'd missed. I found myself wondering, is routine the scaffolding that holds our mental health together? Big question. And when you take it away, do you also take away perspective, security, the innate comfort that comes from knowing what comes next? For me, the prospect of a blank sheet of a day with no preordained structure ironically incites a form of chaos in my brain, which I definitely don't like, particularly if it is followed by endless other blank sheets with no goals or milestones beyond actually passing the time. And I wonder, am I alone on this? Am I a particularly unimaginative creature who substitutes routine for individuality or spontaneity? Or are we all wired like this? And if we are, what utter chaos must exist out there 12 months into this blank sheet era? When I opened my groggy eyes last Monday morning, the first thought that jumped into my head was, yes, a plan, a day with parameters. Oh, the joy of structure, of a preordained sequence to the day. Something as simple as a walk to and from the school to bookend everyday chores. And yet a game changer to our ability to cope with the endless nothingness that is our lives at the moment, the abyss. We've only got one child back in school out of three contenders, and yet the other two are already like eager dogs straining at their leads. But at least they too can benefit from his timetable. From a tangible reason to get up in the morning, from an expectation to be fulfilled beyond our own four walls. Like little voyeurs, they cling to his every word when he comes back of an afternoon with tales from the outside world. An adrenaline injection for all of us, courtesy of social interaction with someone without our shared DNA. We almost roll out the red carpet when our intrepid little explorer returns, like the first cracks around the ship Endurance after months of being beset by ice. His adventures take on a new significance way beyond just education. Even I will remember, with envy, that world before March 12, 2020, when I had a concrete job with a certain future and a workspace that wasn't shared with my 8-year-old's posters of Ronaldo. Even I will be a little envious of his forays into normality. Perhaps they won't fight quite as much now that our family gets to be diluted, just a little, by interactions with someone who doesn't have shared ownership of the remote control or the packet of treats in the cupboard. Perhaps there will be less emotional outbursts from all generations, and a rising tide will indeed lift all boats in this COVID ocean. Perhaps we will all benefit from the small chink of school-shaped light that this opening allows enter our lives after 2 months of winter darkness. I hope so, Ray, because we already bloody need it. One gone, two to go, roll on March 15th. And for all those out there who still await the arrival of that chink, that vital seed of hope, my thoughts are with you. The government may have revised their Living with COVID plan, but a plan without dates, without milestones, without commitment, is just continued chaos under a different name. 1 year on, this is no longer an adventure. It's a test of endurance. So that's Claire. And her look back at the week when some classes went back to school. Junior, senior, first, second and leaving certs. And the reference to March 15th is when the rest of the primary schools go back and fifth years return as well. And then it's into April. I think it's April 12th when everybody will be back at school, which will be amazing. The thing about it is at the end, see, there's no certainty. I've said this before. There's no certainty. I heard a man on the radio a few weeks ago and it's, you know, these phrases that stick with you because you go, oh yeah, that makes complete sense. I'll remember that and I'll quote it back when I'm on the radio to people. And he was saying we should concentrate on data and not dates. And of course, in America, they say data. So concentrate on the data, not the dates. Because government, Tony Holland, anybody, they can't give us dates because there is no certainty. But they are concentrating on the data and the trends. And they know that at a certain point in the future, when we hit all that, and if everything else is going well, that's when they can reopen the country. So there. Thanks for that, Claire. Eva Jane Gaffney was tweeting, my auntie who works in a GP's told me they've been playing Frank Sinatra in the reception and it's all been really gorgeous and emotional. And this is the bit I love about the tweet. And people were dressed in their best gear for the big day. Some hadn't been out since last March, not even to the shops. Hope ahead. Yeah, well, you would, wouldn't you? You'd get dressed up to go to the doctor to get your vaccine if you're over 85. I think you would. And that's lovely. And what sort of fashion do you goes with a vaccination? Well, there has to be ease of access because you have to get to the upper arm. So if you're a lady, you're probably not going to wear a tight sleeve thing. You probably wear a short sleeve thing under a jacket. You can take off the jacket, then the doctor can get that sort of thing. These are the things you have to consider. And I love the idea of Frank Sinatra playing in the background. New York, New York. He did it his way, etc., etc. Now, if Meghan and Harry wanted to leave the royal life behind them in the UK, why do they keep coming back to talk about it? This is not going to end well. They will regret this interview before it's even aired. Yeah, why don't they just go away and live a happy life together? But then you see they've got over 100 million from Netflix and part of the deal is probably that they have to do these interviews. I don't know. Why in the name of God would you marry into that family? That's a good question. I'm very surprised Princess Diana's panorama interview about her marriage breakup with Charles didn't feature in the top five, Fran in Dublin. It's in the top 10, Fran. I'm just going to spool over there. Where are we? Yeah, it's at number six, actually. 23 million watched it back in 1995. Princess Di and Martin Bashir. Out you go to the patio at RTE for the summer, eh? Outdoor interviews. Oh, brilliant idea. Let's start setting that up. And you see, you have to get in first in this place because now that I've said it, somebody's probably planning it already. And we'll go up and we'll say, we want to do this. Oh no, the other program's doing that. Where did they get that idea? Oh, they heard somebody on the radio saying it. But that's a brilliant idea. I always laugh when I hear the name of this band. I remember being a child thinking that it was a gas name. Goats Don't Shave. Thought it was so strange. The Hills of Donegal is a big hit. Good news, got my first vaccine today and I have a date for a follow-up, says Declan. Brilliant. I'm guessing the goats were looking a bit sheepish outside Penny's. Hey, that's Colin in France. And Claire's email, she is 100% right, says Mike. And I think that is part of the human condition. We do need structure. And that's why when people become unemployed and a number of people are not working at the moment, they lose structure to their lives and that affects their mental health. So that's why I'm going to pass it on because I've read this and I've heard loads of people saying it, that you need to have structure to your day, even if you don't have a job. So you need to get up in the morning, you know, go for a walk, whatever. Whatever it means, walk down to the shop, buy a paper, you know, whatever it takes. A bit of structure, because we all need it. We all desperately need it. Would you like to hear a construction joke? I'm still working on it. Hey! Good man, Joshua. Good man, Joshua. There you go. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Yeah. Sean. Sean, come in, Sean.
Ray.
How are you?
What do you get if you cross a pig and a theoretical physicist?
I don't know.
Albert Einstein.
Are you still there, Sean? Yeah.
I heard an interesting story there recently about some customs officers who discovered a body in a crate of chickpeas, and the police are treating it as a homicide.
See, hummus. Homicide! Homicide! This woman, who may be a MacMahon, we're not too sure. Hello!
Okay, this joke is a conversation between an army sergeant and a private.
Okay.
Private Smith, I didn't see you at camouflage training this morning.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Get it? Come on. Yeah. So that's the standard. They're good. They're good. But we need more. So if you have a joke there that's tried and tested, that makes people laugh every time, and you want to share it with us and maybe get the crown of funniest joke in Ireland, send it in to us, ray@rte.ie. You can record it, video or just sound. And we'll give you the WhatsApp number as well very shortly. Now, three songs lined up. Ruth and Neil are out there. It's Friday, so we have three happy songs. Will it be this one? That's Noan the Whale in 5 years' time. Nice message there. No, I don't see any great reaction to that. What about this one? Nina. You and I in a little toy shop by a beggar. Yeah, better reaction to that. That's 99 Red Balloons. Or this one. Starting up the engine there, because we're going for a trip in a JCB. Nislopi. So, 1, 2 or 3. 5 years' time, 99 Red Balloons or JCB song. Two it is. A number one from back in the day. A one-hit wonder. Good afternoon.
Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
5 on 551. Ellie is 6 years old and would like to share her joke too. What do you call a man with no shins? Tony. That's Ellie's nanny, Doreen. I like it. Don't mind them. My name is James Boschel and I live in Bethel, Connecticut in the USA. I was wondering if you could possibly wish my mum, Elizabeth Boschel, pronounced Bo as in Bo Peep, she will be 91 years young on Sunday. She's mother to 10 of us, 8 girls and 2 boys. She is and has been a great mother to all of her children, even though hard times back in the day. She's always good-humoured and a positive person, even during COVID. She lives in Baldoyle. Loves Radio 1, and I know she would love a mention from you on her special day. Hopefully I can get home to see her soon. Love from James and Elaine and all her family, both here and in Ireland. God bless her, says James. So happy birthday, Elizabeth Boschel, 91 years young, this Sunday. Now, we spotted a wonderful video online of an Irish mammy getting the ultimate surprise. Her sons clubbed together to get her a car after a very tough year. So it's Jess is the mammy and one of her sons. Have a listen.
Who owns it?
You
do. I don't.
It's you.
How did you buy this?
With money.
I know that. Where'd you get it?
Up in Dublin. On Saturday.
What?
Yeah.
You're messing me.
No, this is your car. Do you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Honest,
you're not messing?
I wouldn't mess with something like that.
This is mine.
This is yours. It's actually in your name.
It is.
Already.
It is not.
That's Jess. Jess Latchford from Gorey, and she's on the line now. How are you doing, Jess?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good talking to you. And that was one of your sons, Rob, in the car with you.
It was, yeah.
Now, the audio is good, but the video is brilliant. The look of disbelief on your face.
Oh, my God. I tell you, I was absolutely gobsmacked. Yeah.
So what, you came out to sit into the car, and what did you think? He had a new car, or what do you think?
Yeah, you see, we always meet up on a Tuesday evening for a cup of tea, right?
Yeah.
And he came in this other car, and I just got in and said, who owns it? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I knew he didn't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then he told me that the three lads had bought it for me.
Right.
So it was just amazing.
Now,
yeah.
What were you driving up until that, Jess?
I have a Ford Focus 03.
'03.
Getting a little bit old, battered and bruised like yourself.
Yeah, well, it's 18 years old.
Yeah,
yeah,
very old.
How many miles on the clock, do you know?
Oh, well over 200,000.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, right. So what did the lads buy for you then?
They bought me a Ford Focus 08.
Ah, brilliant.
Yeah.
So you're up 5 years, and how many miles?
I'm trying to do that with the age, right?
Yeah, you've been upgraded.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah.
Jess Lasford, you've been upgraded to an 08.
So it's brilliant, just like winning the lottery.
So that was Rob. John, the other son, is in Bristol, and Dave is in Indiana, and he's on the line now. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing very well. I feel like you're making us out to be a cheapskate that we only upgraded her to an 08.
No, I'm not. I think it's a wonderful gesture. What a lovely gift. And then to surprise your mother with it as well. And whose decision was it to surprise Jess, Dave?
Well, so 12 months ago, my sister passed away,
right,
and in her sleep. She was age 40, and ever since then, every week without fail, my two brothers and I, because obviously we're all in different parts of the world, we get on Zoom every Saturday evening almost without fail, and we chat with each other. And obviously, it's been a really tough year. And then obviously, with the lockdown, it's just made it even harder for people. And my brother said, look, Mam is just not in a good way. We need to do something for her, and her car is on its last legs. So I think I want to buy a new car for her. So we just said, all right, we're in. Let's do it. And a few days later, then he just bought her a new car.
Hey.
So, yeah.
And Jess, your name is on the logbook, is it? That's important.
It is, yeah. It's on the logbook the other day. Now I have to tax it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but at least it's official. It's yours. The car
all
is yours.
Mine.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
All
brilliant.
Mine. Yeah.
Yeah. You've had, that's a tough year you've had, Jess.
It's been a nightmare, Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I suppose it was February when Caroline died.
Yeah.
And then the lockdown kicked in, so you haven't been able to grieve as people would normally grieve.
No, you can't, can't go up and see my brothers and my sister and, you know, things like that. And
yeah.
It's just been horrendous.
Yeah, you poor thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I suppose you know that you have three lads there that love you very much.
And I love them.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's important.
And they know that too.
Yeah, you're there for each other. You're there for each other.
Yeah, thank God, yeah.
And how many children had Caroline?
She's four.
Four.
Four
right.
Children.
Right.
Yeah.
And do they live near you, Jess?
Yeah, they do, lucky enough, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that's something, isn't it?
I don't know why I do without them all.
Yeah, and you can see her
can
in
see
them,
them,
I suppose. And you can see her in them.
Yeah, of course, yeah absolutely.
And
yeah.
How are they doing?
They're amazing children, Ray.
Yeah.
And our husband, Dave. Yeah.
Great. Well, will you pass on our best wishes to them? Because
I will, of course. Yeah, they're all listening, Ray.
Right, okay. How are you? How are you, lads? So Megan, Abby, Rebecca and Adam. And Dave, the hubby.
And
just in her sleep, just went. Like that's.
Just, yeah, went to bed.
Yeah.
Never woke up.
Yeah, nice for her, but not for everybody she left behind.
No,
yeah, yeah.
No.
Didn't know anything about it, right?
No, she didn't. No.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
you know, Ray, I was chatting to my brother Rob, who's in that video this morning, and now, Mam, don't get mad at me for saying this, but he said over the last year, my mom looks like she's kind of aged about 10 years because of all the grief.
Yeah.
And he said over the last few days, this is the power of the community, of people coming together and wishing her well, and everything over the last few days with this video and with the car. He said over the last few days, she's gotten back all them years.
Ah, brilliant.
That, that threw me over the edge this morning.
That's brilliant. You're gone viral, Jess, in a good way.
I know. Yeah. Well, at least I'm not on the wanted list for a good reason. Yeah.
Now we played the clean bit because there was a bit of. When you get excited, Jess, when you get excited, but it's well worth the watch. It's just a minute long, and it's up there.
Yes.
And did it smell like a new car? Had it been valeted and all that?
Oh, it's perfect, Ray. It looks like it's this year's car.
Right.
Even the engine is spotless.
Great. Yeah. Well, you may wear and drive safely. Dave, nice talking to you. I'm sure we'll talk again. And well done to John and Rob as well. Okay, mind yourself, Jess.
Right, thanks,
Stay safe.
Ray.
See you, Dave.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, it's Family Friday. It's been a rough start to 2021 for the Andrews family. Many of you will know Ryan Andrews from Fair City and Dancing with the Stars. On January, it doesn't say what date here, in January, his dad, Jimmy, got COVID. And from there, the whole family went on a difficult journey, but happily, they're out the other side, and Ryan and Jimmy are on the line. How are you doing, Ryan?
How you doing, Ray? How are you doing? How are you?
Good to talk to you. You're coming in loudly and clearly there. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Good, Ray. Good, no bother.
Yeah, good to talk to you too. And you are out the other side, Jimmy.
I am, yeah. Well, I'm getting there, Ray.
Right, okay.
Slowly, but I will get there. You know what I mean? Please, God.
Yeah. Ryan, introduce us to your dad there. Give us his CV.
So this is my dad. This is Jimmy. Jimmy is my best friend, and you know, like I'd be onto my phone to my dad, like, you know, 4, 5, 6 times a day, all the time.
Right.
He's been working in Guinness's in the last 30 plus years, and he's a very fit man. Cycles to and from Guinness's every single day from Donaghmead, and a personality, great big personality, fills a room, every room he walks into. So it was a bit of a shock when he kind of went into hospital and all that kind of started going from him, Ray, to be honest.
Yeah. What age are you, Jimmy?
I'm 57, Ray.
Right. How far is it from Donaghmead to Guinness's?
I'd say it's about 14 kilometres.
Right. And it's, which, is it uphill, downhill, in between?
Well,
hill?
It's okay going into work. Coming home now, I'm uphill all the way.
Right. So you're doing 28 kilometres a day on the bike.
Yeah, roughly, Ray, yeah.
And then you used to go for a walk then after work.
I take Ralph out for a walk then. Yeah, we're Ryan and Carl.
Right.
And
Carl is the other son and Ralph is the dog.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, just to get that straight.
Just to clear that up.
Yeah. So when did you suspect, you sort of found out by accident really that you had COVID?
Well, I was due to go into St. Joseph's Hospital for just a small incision on a Wednesday morning, and Tuesday night I felt a little bit of a cough coming on.
Right.
And obviously I says, they're not going to do this operation here on a Wednesday morning. So I just went down to reception, told them the story, bit of a cough. So she says to me, you best contact your GP.
Mm.
So I did that, and they got us a COVID test for 12:30 on a Wednesday. That was positive. And I took the Thursday and Friday off work, and plus the following week.
Because you had to isolate for 10 days.
We had to isolate for the 14 days or whatever. So on the Wednesday that week, the cough was starting to increase, you know. And Jackie, my wife, she rang the doctor. We got a cough bottle, thinking it was just a heavy cough, you know. And the Thursday increased and it got worse. Friday, Jackie rang the doctor again, and there's a place up in the DCU in Glasnevin, and it's kind of, they put you on oxygen up there rather than before you make it to the hospital, rather.
Right.
So I got there on a Saturday morning, and the nurse said to me, she looked into my eyes, and she says, you don't really know where you are, do you? And I really didn't know what I was, Ray, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
that's scary.
They got an ambulance for me straight away, and I got into the ambulance. I was talking to the two chaps. One that was looking at me, and the driver, a bit of crack we had, and we got to the matter. And from the matter, when the ambulance stopped, I crashed. I don't remember a thing after that.
Right.
So I don't even remember entering in the hospital. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. So Ryan
that's
has
how
to,
bad it was.
Ryan has to fill in the gaps then. So.
Yeah.
What were you told, Ryan?
So basically what happened, what we were told was, my dad actually, it's a funny story, he thought he got a helicopter into the matter. But yeah,
look at you.
It was actually, he thought he got special services. Yeah, and we were like, unfortunately, it was actually just the back of an ambulance. But basically what we got told was my dad actually collapsed in the ambulance going into the matter. So he was then rushed to ICU, intensive care unit, in the matter. And he was in a special room on his own. And it was like, you know, basically the final kind of room. Like, so there was all the machines were kind of around and stuff. And we got a phone call saying, you know, your dad is in ICU. And we were like, okay, well, look, that's good. Like, you know, as in he's on the machines and everything seemed to be responding. And other than that, then we'd only get kind of one or two phone calls a day, like one in the morning, one at the evening, and that was it. So my dad was put on a CPAP machine, which now, like, I don't know all the technicals of it, but like what a lot of people would know, it's like kind of the big machine that goes over your mouth and that breathes in intense oxygen. And he was on that for 3 days, but that's really, really intense. So they looked to get a halo mask, which is, if people saw, it's a big kind of bubble that goes over the head.
I've seen it,
and yeah, so, but they were rushing that down from Mullingar because the CPAP wasn't compatible. Then the halo came down, that wasn't compatible, that wasn't working. So then it was the Tuesday then, we got a phone call 8 o'clock in the morning saying we're going to put your dad on a ventilator because he needs a rest because he was fighting it so much and his body was tired. So my dad rang us on the Monday night, the night before he got onto the ventilator, and he was talking, no problem. And we were like, oh my God, this is brilliant. He's back and he's talking. And then it just kind of took a bit of a turn. And that's when the ICU really kind of kicked in then, right?
Right. And we've heard a lot of stories about people who appear to have turned a corner and be out the other side. And then something, they relapsed.
And sometimes it's on day 10 what some people are talking about, right? It's like you can go through COVID and literally on that day 10 as well, it's like you can kind of turn the good side or else you kind of turn a bad side. So that in particular.
And Jimmy, were you aware of any of this?
I was aware of that on the third day, one of the doctors, Dr. Lambert, he was the main man in there, you know?
Yeah.
And he says, I did hear, we're going to put you into a coma. So really, I didn't really know what was going on, right? Do you know what I mean?
So you went into, you were put into coma, an induced coma?
An induced coma, yeah. You put him into an induced coma for 3 days. I heard it 3 days. But then that went into 6 days. And obviously I didn't remember anything. But then coming through then, when I was awake, They were still walking. I had a mask on me, and it was very, very, very difficult. It was, Ray. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And what was your mental state? You know, were you aware of your surroundings?
I was. Yeah. Do you know what things? When I was there, I was lying there, and I had lots of time to think, Ray.
Yeah.
And really, what I was thinking was, if I didn't come through this, to make sure financially, Jackie and the boys, they were left okay, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The bills, there was no bills for them.
Well, that's brilliant, you know isn't it? That's brilliant. That's peace of mind.
Yeah, and I got stronger then, do you know what I mean? And they were telling me that from one ICU room to another, you're kind of, it was the same setup, but I was getting, if I moved from one room to another, I was getting better, do you know what I mean?
Aha, uh-huh. Yeah. So
Mr. Lambert would stick his head in every morning and he'd say, when I came through, he says, we'll have you over here next week, Mr. Andrews.
Right.
And it was really encouraging, do you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
But I didn't feel, I wanted to get away straight away, do you know what I mean? Like,
and can I ask you, Jimmy, before you got it, because, you know, we're all soaking up the news since last March. And were you thinking about yourself as a man who cycled 28 kilometres a day, you know, walked, you know, 25 kilometres a week, all of that? Did you smoke?
No, I smoked years ago, right? I spent 20 years off cigarettes.
Okay, yeah. You probably thought to yourself, well, even if I do get it, you know, it's not going to hit me too bad. I'm 57. I'm not, you know, I'm not in danger. Yeah. Did you or did you not?
I did. Do you know, without being ignorant, I said, I wore the mask all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'd say, you know, I was in a safe place. We all kept ourselves together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And have you any idea how you got it?
Absolutely no idea, right? No.
Right.
I've no idea where I got it.
And Ryan, what about your mum, Jackie? How was she taking all of this?
My mom was very, very strong throughout the whole process, Ray. I tell you, it's very hard when you have to sit there and you're waiting like all day for a phone call, and that phone call comes in, you know, so you'd be up from 7 a.m. hoping that the phone would ring, and it would ring at 9 and you'd get an update saying Jimmy has stayed the same. And then you'd kind of wait all day, and then you might get an evening phone call saying Jimmy, he's still the same. So like my mom had to take those phone calls every day, and then she would relay them to me, and then I'd be turning around going, well, what about this, or what about that, or what's his oxygen levels today? Where my mom throughout the whole process was like, all she asked the doctors was, Ray, can you hear me, Ray?
Yeah, I can hear you still. Yeah, you're fine.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All she asked the doctors was, is he okay? Are you happy? And they would say, I'm happy. And my mom would say, that's all I want to know. Because she was like, I don't want to hear. Yeah. He dropped by 1%, and then you have to spend the rest of the day worrying as well. So it was, my mom was very strong throughout the whole process and still is now. So like, you know, with my dad on the recovery kind of stage, you know.
Yeah, because it's a big recovery for you, Jimmy, isn't it? Because I can even hear you there now. You're a bit out of breath.
Yeah, well, if I walked 100 metres, Ray, I'd have to stop and just, you know, get me breathing. Like,
right.
It does catch me, you know what I mean? I can't overexert myself. Like when I come out of the hospital, just to walk up the stairs was an effort, a huge effort, you know what I mean?
Right. And what about, you know, your memory is back full. How else does it affect you?
Well, the memory is back now, but I still have to be told some things. Something might come up, right, and I say, geez, I don't remember that. Did that happen to me?
Right.
So it's patchy, you know what I mean?
That's scary. And what are they telling you? Will you make a full recovery, Jimmy?
Well, please God, I will, but it'll be slow, Ray, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like he did say to me, with the COVID, the first thing to go is your memory, you know?
Right.
So it was the first thing that went on me, Ray, and anyway, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Can you please pass on my best wishes? I know the messer Jimmy through work. All of his colleagues are delighted to know he's doing great, and I, for one, missed the crack with him and his sing-song, and hope to see him again soon. All the best, Jimmy. That's Katrina and Jerry, is it? Would you know them, Katrina and Jerry?
Yeah, nice one.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. So you're out the other side. It's going to be a long recovery. And I suppose we don't hear enough stories like yours. You know, there's a lot of doom and gloom around, and you made it through.
Well, I made it through, Ray, yeah, thank God. And I do feel mentally I'm very good, you know what I mean? I'm strong.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a slow recovery. Yeah. But I've time on my side here.
You do, you're a young man.
And I'm getting me walks in every day.
Great. With Rolf.
With Rolf, yeah. Everyone is not around, I'd have to do it with Rolf, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And Ryan, was there a moment, was there any time there where you feared the worst?
Oh, absolutely, Ray. 100%. There was a time where I was very strong, and I was ringing all the family, and I was kind of I was like, look, it's going to be okay. He's strong. It's his lungs. He cycles. If it was his heart or a different part of his body, I said I would have been. But, you know, I was keeping everybody upbeat. But there was a time where he spent 6 days on a ventilator and 16 hours a day he would be on his stomach. They call it prone, and so it means that they try and help the lungs start working again. And on the fourth day, it hadn't improved. So he just kept flipping him every day for 16 hours on his stomach. And I kept going, I need something. I need something now for it to turn a corner, because it was 4 days of not turning. And yeah, there was one or two times where I kind of broke. I was like, I don't know what to do. I was like, you're in the middle of the Port Tunnel and you can't go left or right, or you can't see in front of you or behind you, and you're just stuck. But literally, as I thought that, I kind of put it out in my system, and then my dad's like oxygen levels kind of start rising and he start breathing by himself. And then you hang on to every little bit of kind of hope. And also a massive like thank you to all the nurses and the staff in the Mater Hospital, because like, it's only when you look at the statistics, right, and you hear 130 people now in ICU and you think, well, sure, that's gone down. That those 130 people have families, they have friends, they have colleagues. And it's only when it affects you, you realise the ripple effect it causes for everybody. And the nurses would ring and they'd be so happy, and they'd be saying, we're going to get Jimmy through this. They don't even know my dad. They didn't know his personality. They didn't know any of us.
Yeah.
And there's nurses like Charlie and Niamh in the matter that I've never met before. I don't know anything about them, but they have made such an impact to me and my family, and it's crazy that we've never even met them, you know?
Yeah, yeah, but that's the world we live in, isn't it? That's the world we live in.
Yep.
And Jimmy, I suppose it was nearly good that you weren't too conscious of what was going on, because, you know, you couldn't have your family and friends around you. There's a lovely video that you put up on TikTok there, Ryan, using this song, and it's Jimmy coming out of hospital and meeting Carol for the first time, and them fist bumping, and I'm sure there were loads of hugs and tears and all that, were there?
It was emotional, yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, great to hear you're out the other side. Mind yourself. It'll be, you know, a long enough recovery. But I'm saying that the doctors are confident enough that you'll make a full recovery, are they?
Yeah, it's a slow recovery, but I'll get there, right? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Thanks, God.
Great talking to you, Jimmy. Mind yourself,
Ryan.
Thanks
for having me.
Yeah,
thanks
see you,
so
Ryan.
Much, Ray,
see you now.
Song.
Mind
we
yourself.
Really
stay safe.
It. Thank you.
Bye now. Bye.
When you don't have no freeloaders, had to get their kicks in. When it's nobody's business the way that you want to live, I just have to remember there'll be days like this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Last year, Tyrone's student, Hannah McSorley, acquired 2.1 million followers and over 41 million likes for her videos when she raised hundreds of frogs from frog spawn. Just this week, she's back, Tadpole Girl, and her first video has gotten a staggering 27.5 million views. Well, that was an hour ago, so it could be up a couple of million since then. And she's on the line now. How are you doing, Hannah?
Hello, how are you?
Good to talk to you again.
Look, it's great to be back.
Yeah, it's great to be back. First thing, what I want to know, because we spoke to you last year, I want to know where all the frogs went, because, you know, we all know that frog spawn becomes tadpoles, becomes frogs. So,
yeah, well, I was raising them not to keep them. I was just sort of like a temporary home whilst they grew up. And once they were big and strong enough, I actually partnered up with a member from Northern Ireland Amphibian and Reptiles Group. And he actually helped me release them properly. And we had a strategic plan. And we released them in small amounts in a very small radius as to where I found them, as to not overwhelm the ecosystem and give them a proper release.
Aha. So did you count them at the end? How many frogs, adult frogs, did you have at the end?
I mean, the storyline was always that I had 37,000 tadpoles, but I'm not quite too sure how many frogs ended up out of that.
Yeah, you're a TikTok star, like 27.5 million views this week. That's phenomenal.
I know, it's kind of hard to get my head around, but I guess they're a big hit, and you know what? It makes me so happy because I love sharing this with people.
Yeah, and it's people from all over the world, Hannah, is it?
Global. My biggest audience would be America, shortly followed by the UK and Ireland, and then the rest of the world after that.
Yeah, and you're going to do the same as you did last year, so you're going to bring this frog spawn to adulthood over the next... How long does it take?
Well, the plan for this year anyway is I live beside an old quarry, but it's actually been bought over and it's in the middle of becoming a house.
Yeah.
And the frogs would have naturally spawned there every single year, but they've already started construction. So my plan this year is to rescue them. Obviously, I'm so against taking frog spawn from a healthy, natural habitat. I'm only taking it because I just think it's going to get squashed by all the tractors or filled up with bricks.
Okay.
But the plan is to take them, rescue them, keep them. It takes around, to answer your question there, sorry, it takes around four or five months for the full process, for the full metamorphosis from frog spawn to frog.
Okay, so it's around May you see full adult frogs.
Yes.
April, May, yeah. I know from talking to you last year that you've a bit of a menagerie up there. You've a long list of pets. Give us them. You've obviously frogs, have you?
Yes, I'm a giant African bullfrog too.
Well, how big is that?
He's very, very big. He weighs almost 2 kg.
Right, and what does he eat?
Mice.
What?
Yeah, mice.
And does he have one of those? Does his tongue go out and catch a mouse? Is that the way it works?
Yes, he grabs it. He's actually got quite big teeth.
Right, I don't want to meet him on a dark night. So you're 5 white tree frogs, 1 giant African bullfrog mentioned already. A snake, what type of snake is it?
Ball python.
Right. A bearded dragon. That's a type of reptile, isn't it? Yeah.
They're all lovely natured.
Yeah, a chameleon. A chameleon, I should say. A gecko there, yeah. What's a mantis? Is that another?
Yes, it's like a little insect. It's pink and white. It's very lovely looking.
Okay. Three guinea pigs. They're rescue ones. Pepper, March and Dusty. You have a few rabbits, number unspecified, three hens, a rescue dog called Molly, who's a golden Labrador, and one cat, Lola.
Yes.
And now a couple of thousand frogs spawn on top of that again. Yeah.
Yes, I just love all animals and nature so much.
Yeah. Well, the brilliant thing about it is, Hannah McSorley, that you are inspiring children all over the world to get in touch with nature, and you're educating them about the frog. And as a result of what you're doing, hopefully, it'll contribute to the saving of our planet in the future.
Hopefully, I can always encourage people, you know, to do better for nature. And, you know, I encourage everything in a really safe and proper way that respects nature. Like, we coexist with nature, and it's just such a beautiful thing. And I feel like being back in lockdown is a time to reconnect.
Yeah.
And it's a better time to actually take note of what's around us.
Okay. Hannah, good luck with your frog spawn, tadpoles, frogs, and we'll talk to you this time next year, or maybe before. We'll talk to you in a few months to get an update. Thanks, Hannah. Bye now. Bye. Anish Tosha now, and the Free Skelton and Nogla, Cotta Wallish.
Gramila Mahedre, Gusgumani Dirib. Dúirt príomh efigur clinicú leimeanach na seirbhíse sláinte Dr. Colm Henry go dasó furatúirt in vírus nó an vaccín in ein COVID-19 go rinn bhfuil deacrachtaí sláinte go ba teacht an seothagann agus go dúirir 10,000 tosc an vaccín rób. Tá sé gceist an vaccín a thuairt go 8,266 duine lú go teacht an seothagann 36,000 duine tos cinn déimlíon agus sí scóir agus 1,000 go léad duine atá na inid chúnaithe fad tíormacha. Tu go vaccín go chuid a smógan na dine tos cín chuglaí agus chéad a scóirí teachtain seo agus chiafa idir sé chéad agus och céad duine sa níos grúpa seo vaccín in teachtain seo thugann freisin. Díar an Astráil ar Chomisiúna Eorpa fisrúchana dhéana faoi chinne rinne na dáil bac a chur ar vaccíní AstraZeneca a bhí le cur go na Astráil. Chuir an Nadal bac ar 25,000 tosc an vaccín a bhí le an Esportal gohar nar chlaí AstraZeneca le galún TV tucaíocha ba dtí bh méid vaccíní a chur iad fáil go thiar an aontais. Thug go Comisiún Eorpa chu dácaíocht go Nadal sa gás agus tá léide tucaí go bhreinc go gur is a taon bac ar Esportal vaccíní freisin. Thugur í niompar le fios nach gaithe tiománaiche lorraí festa tástal a bheith díontaca bla na chrathúnach úr le vírus crónach arab nuair atá siad a taistil go díireach as éirinn go dtí an reing. Ach teasta an crathúnas sin ó thománaiche bheits a taistil as imreatain go dtí an reing nó go dtí an íseiltír. Hánic ardúid sí pinti ceir faoin géad ar altáirige intíir ina héirin an ara go raibh réh vestú chana tá fáil sí go bríomhefic staidsibh. Ach nuair a chuirtúir tionchar cólachtaí móradar náisiúnta as an áireamh spáinte go raibh titim cúg pointi ceir faoin géad a gúrsaí ach námaíochta na tíre seo. Was a ban os cín scór blianta gaois nuair a bhfuil dhá chár fina chéile ar bhuthar na lína nú a gun dé Loch Garman roibhín séach lagar maidin inniumh. Bhain min ghortaithe go bhean os cín trí scór blian gaois a bhí tomáint an cháir eile. An aim siúdanis, tá tíobh sí maith gréine gealta chulá trónóna, bis a tearam sa gudis múgan tír, cés múti go bheag an ceobhráin, tá gealta gantar an íor iesgúrt, heidir sé chéim agus och géim a bheis a teocht a sárde. Agus leisin sin bhúl go chúrsín uíocht agus aim siúdu wain gantrása ar eis a tain a ré.
Gormaga, Cart, thanks very much, have a good weekend. 51551 for your text, ray@rte.ie for emails. Can you please wish our aunt Patsy McDermott from Townsend Street? And our mam, Nana, Rita McDermott from Rohini, a very happy birthday. Love from Angie, John and Sarah in Rocky River, Ohio. So happy birthday, Patsy, and happy birthday, Rita. And Kathy has been on, says, I work in mental health and I can say with 100% certainty that routine and the habits of daily life are the cornerstone of mental physical health. It forms a big part of treatment for health and well-being, says Kathy. And we were talking to Jess and her son, Dave. Jess got a new car during the week. Just listened to your show and my heart goes out to Jess on the loss of her daughter. My 60th was last Tuesday and my three daughters bought me a yellow Mini Cooper. I also lost my daughter 13 years ago, age 17, and they surprised me totally with the car. Isn't that nice?
What an inspiring woman Hannah is. She's right. We are part of nature, not above it, says that person. Now, here we go. This... Thank you. It's time for our quiz of today. Today being the 5th of March. The prize, it's an overnight stay for two people in a luxury double room in the Dillon, a 5-star luxury boutique hotel in Dublin. And you can find out more at dillon.ie. Sinead Barrett is in Tramore in County Waterford. How are you doing, Sinead?
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good, good. Now, you knew the answer was Sneem because you were there when?
A good few years back, and we were down around the area and went into a posh kind of resort, Ray. I think a Park na Silla or something, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
And we just had a walk around and we weren't lucky enough to stay there. But when we were walking, we met Nicky Byrne, yeah, and his wife.
Yeah.
And, it was lovely. I think there was a few celebs like yourself, I think, around the area. I believe Brian Cody was there as well. Around the same time, the Kilkenny manager.
Yeah. No, so, it's a former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern. He's a regular down to Park na Silla.
Oh, it's beautiful down there, Ray.
Yes, isn't it? And Sneem is a lovely little village. Lovely little village.
Fabulous. We had, I think it was fish and chips or something that evening passing through. Yeah. It was really nice. Yeah, lovely now.
There was a famous man who used to sit at the bar at the pub that the owner was on Morning Ireland this morning. But this man was the local postman, and he was photographed years ago, and the picture appeared on the cover of an American magazine. Right. And he was living off that, because I remember that I walked into the pub and they told me, I can't remember his name, it could be Donny or Paddy or Jimmy, but you were told that that's him there, and he was on the cover in an American magazine, and if you buy him a whiskey, he'll tell you the story. That was what you had to do. Yes.
Very good.
Yeah, yeah. How are you? You've had a tough life.
Well, I won't say a tough life, Ray, but the last maybe five and a half years.
Yeah.
4 years ago, I lost my husband through cancer, and unfortunately, that's just, you know, I won't say it gets easier, but time is a healer, and we have other good things going on in life.
Yeah. What age was he?
When he passed, he was only 31.
My word. And you were childhood sweethearts?
Kind of, yeah, friend for a long time, and then more or less always knew him. And when he passed, shortly after, his sister had a baby, so it was really bittersweet for his parents.
Yes,
but it was you know, yourself one down, one like passed.
Yeah, the circle of life, I suppose, yeah.
And, but my son wasn't even four, my youngest son,
right.
So it's been tough, but everybody's been excellent. I have a good family, and Connor's family are very good as well. So,
Okay, and you're getting there, I suppose.
We have to, don't we, Ray? When you have kids,
you
it's just for them.
Yeah, you do. You have to mind yourself as well. You're up against Claire McLaughlin today, and she's in Mohill in County Leitrim. How are you doing, Claire?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. You're at home with your husband, Padraig.
Well, actually, I'm at home, but my husband Park lives with me, but he's not actually here at the minute. He's away working, so he's just outside working. But I'm here. But the reason I rang in today, Ray, as you probably know, I was telling Niamh there that my daughter Sinead was supposed to get married today to Martin, and Martin is from Kerry, so that's how I knew the answer to the question.
Name is in Kerry. There you go. and it was all planned.
It was all planned.
Yeah, and was it planned for last year as well, or only for this year?
No, just for this year.
Right.
They booked it for today. And but strangely enough, it's funny. Part of my husband was 60 there on Sunday, on the 28th of February.
Right.
So we decided. I decided last year. I said, "Well, Sinead and Martin are getting married on the 5th of March, so there won't be a chance for a big party for Porrig." So last year, I organised a 59th party for him. And we all went away, and the family came, and some of his sisters came, and my brother and sister. And we had a fantastic weekend celebrating it, because we said this year it would be overshadowed by the wedding.
Yes. And
luckily,
what happened. Well, isn't that something to hold on to, that weekend that you had at the end of February last year?
Absolutely. It was brilliant, and we were all together. And we were down, actually, a shout out there to the beach bar at Ochres in Sligo, at Ochres Head. That's where we celebrated.
That's where
we had a great weekend.
Okay, and have they rescheduled the wedding, Claire?
They've rescheduled the wedding for April Fool's Day next year, believe it or not, and it won't be an April Fool.
Is that wise?
no,
I don't believe I don't believe that, Holcomb. What day of the week is the 1st of April next year?
That's a good question. I think it's a Friday.
Right. Okay. Well, we have computers here, so we might look it up.
Great!
And there's other excitement in the house as well, is there?
Yes. Well, we were all excited. Well, Louise, then my daughter, my other daughter, she's expecting a baby in June. So Louise, she has just started her new job in Carrick and Shannon, and she's living with Barry down in Ballinasloe, a beautiful part of Ireland, or Leitrim, called Ballinasloe, nestling under the Stephen Eyre there along the shores of Loch Allen. So it's beautiful, and she's very excited. Now, luckily, Louise, she started her new job there in January in Carrick and Shannon with psychiatric services, and unfortunately she had COVID, but she's made a fantastic recovery.
Great.
So she's doing great. Right. Yeah, and yeah, so it's all, we're very lucky, I suppose. We have all our family. My other son has moved back from Cavan, and Darren and Anne, they're living beside us now with their two little children, Aileen and Fionn. Yeah.
Everybody mentioned there, Sadie and Killian, you better give them a mention as well.
And I have to make a shout out, and my youngest darling is working in Dublin, Alan, and he's working with a very progressive young company called Gaga Muller. So they'll be delighted with that.
Right, there you go.
We're live in Gaga Muller at the minute.
Hello, Gaga Muller. You'll have to invoice them for that mention on national radio there, Claire.
I will.
Okay. It's Sinead versus Claire. Good luck to you both. 5 questions each. Okay. Whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. If it's even at the end of 5, then we have a tiebreaker. Okay, here we go. Sinead, first question for you. On this day in 1966, at the 11th Eurovision Song Contest, Udo Jürgens won it for Austria, singing Merci Cherie. What we want to know is the capital city of Austria.
Vienna?
Yes, is the correct answer. Well done. And for you, Claire, on this day in 1945, during the Second World War, the US 7th Army Corps captured Cologne in Germany. What's the capital city of Germany?
Berlin.
Correct answer. Sinead, second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
Impossible, my dear lady. That's absurd. Unthinkable.
Why?
Because that pipe doesn't go to the marshmallow room, it goes to the fudge room.
You terrible man.
Take Mrs. Gloop straight to the fudge room, but look sharp, or her little boy's liable to get poured into the boiler.
On this day in 1914, Ursula Wright, German actress, was born. She played the part of Mrs. Gloop in that movie that you heard, alongside Gene Wilder. Can you name the movie? Mrs. Gloop.
I'm not sure.
Take a guess. No. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. That's what we're looking for there. Yes, there. Oh, yeah, there. Gene Wilder, I thought, would have given you a big hint there. Claire, an audio question for you as well. Have a listen to this.
There is more meaning and mutual understanding in exchanging a glance with a gorilla than any other animal I know.
On this day in 2006, nature documentary Planet Earth premiered on the BBC. It was narrated by that famous naturalist. Can you name him?
David Attenborough.
Correct answer. Right, Sinead, back to you for question number 3. This day in 1979 saw Voyager 1's closest approach to Jupiter. How long does it take Jupiter to orbit the Sun? 6 years or 12 years?
I'm just going to have to be a guess, 12.
Correct answer. Yes, well done. Claire, your third question. On this day in 1982, Russian spacecraft Venera 14 landed on Venus. How long does it take Venus to orbit the Sun? 225 days or 450 days?
Oh, 225.
Is the correct answer. It's a guess, but they all count. Right, back to you, Sinead. Your fourth question is an audio one. Have a listen to this. On this day in 1962, Charlie and Craig Reed, Scottish musicians, were born. You heard them there. What name are they better known by?
The Proclaimers.
Is the correct answer, said with confidence. Well done. Claire, your fourth question is audio as well. Have a listen to this.
I am beautiful in every single way. Yes, well.
That's song was number one on this day in 2003, 18 years ago? Can you name the singer?
Would it be Christina Aguilera?
Yes, it would, yes. Now, Claire, you've done very well. You're on four. Sinead, you're on three. So you have to get this right to stay with a chance of winning the prize, and hope that Claire doesn't get her final question right, and hope that you get the tiebreaker correct. So there's a lot of hope in there. Good luck with this. On this day in 1998, singer Mariah Carey and music mogul Tommy Mottola divorced after 2 years of marriage. In what year was Mariah Carey born? 1965, 1969 or 1973? Mariah Carey.
Oh, God, 69?
Yeah, correct answer. March 27, 1969. She's 51, she'll be 52 in a few weeks. Okay, so you're on four, you can't do anything else. Sinead, Claire, if you get this right, you're today's winner. Get it wrong, and we go to a tie-break situation. Good luck with this. On this day in 2015, actor Harrison Ford crash-landed his 1942 Ryan airplane in California. What we want to know is, in what year was Harrison Ford born? 1942, 1945 or 1948?
Oh, God. 1942?
Is the correct answer. Yes.
Oh!
There you go. He'll be 73 this July. You're today's
great
winner. Sinead, hard luck.
No worries, thank you very much.
Yeah, we're going to send you down a couple of mugs. And mind yourself and stay safe.
I will. You too, Ray.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sinead. See you. Bye. Have a good weekend. Bye. Bye. Claire, well done.
Oh, that was brilliant. Brilliant. Well, I decided, Ray, what I'm going to do, because it's Sinead and Martin's wedding day, and actually they're two little, I forgot to mention, they're two little darlings, Sadie and Killian.
Yes.
I've decided I'm going to give them the prize.
That's a lovely gesture. That's
because
a lovely gesture.
They deserve it.
So they're off to the Dillon in Dublin, and they can go to dillon.ie. To sort of whet their appetite for that trip to Dublin.
Excellent.
Okay,
yeah.
Great talking to you, Claire. Mind yourself.
So
well done.
Much.
See you. Bye bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Ready, Steady, Cook started on Monday. It's on every day during the week on BBC One, 3:45. And if you tune in, you will see Anna Haw from Talla. And she's on the line now. How are you doing, Anna?
Hi, Ray. How's it going?
Good. This is brilliant. You're on every day.
I know. I can't believe it. Yeah. I tricked them, Ray. I tricked them. I got them to put me on every day.
And it's the old format again, because we talked about it last year, Ready, Steady, Cook. So you have a number of ingredients and you have to cook up a storm with it in a hurry.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's much harder this year because, you know, there's no audience, but you have the chefs judging you. So it's extra pressure. It's extra hard.
Right. They're extra picky.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it was great crack. I mean, the real pressure is the time, having to get the food out on time. That's really the bit.
But that's what you do. That's your job.
that's my job.
Yes, that's your job. We spoke to you before, and Myrtle's Restaurant, did you open it just before lockdown, or it was only open a few months, was it?
Yeah, it was open 9 months. When the lockdown hit. But yeah, I mean, we opened up twice, you know, when we were allowed, and we'll open up again once it's safe. And the main thing is that we're still going strong. I mean, it's heartbreaking because there is a lot of restaurants that won't reopen and we don't even know it at the minute. So I'm really proud to say that Myrtle will still reopen. So that, you know, trying to look for positives at a time when it's, you know.
So Myrtle is down Myrtle Allen, and Myrtle is your restaurant, and Myrtle is your dog as well. A lot of Myrtles, a lot of Myrtles going on.
I get slagged off a lot about that.
Yeah, yeah.
My dog is a lot older than the restaurant, but it's a perfect name for the restaurant. You know, we celebrate ingredients that are from Ireland, a lot of ingredients that aren't well known, and that is something that Myrtle Allen was always a champion for. So, you know, that's kind of where the name came from.
And she's a hero of yours. I was reading your article you wrote for the Irish Times about, you know, chefs in lockdown, and, you know, like, it's tougher as a woman in what you do, isn't it? It's a male dominated profession.
It is male dominated, and I think what's hard is when you don't see people who are similar to you in any environment,
yeah,
it's difficult. So, you know, when you don't have a lot of women to kind of have a kind of camaraderie kind of with, it can be hard. But in general, as a profession, it's kind of hard for everybody. Like, it is a, it's, you know, everybody's trying to fit in, and then when you're Irish and you're training in London, that's hard because I didn't work with anybody Irish. I was only working with English people, and that was as tricky as being a woman, you know, because they kept misunderstanding you and things like that. They had different names for, they called pots pans, and that was, I kept bringing them frying pans, and I get shouted at.
Yeah, do they call presses cupboards?
No, they don't, and that is so hilarious because it took me a while to figure out.
Yeah,
I kept going, it's in the press, it's in the press, and they were like,
what are you talking about? Garlic press? There's a garlic press. No, it's in the press, it's in the press.
Exactly.
So I suppose that's the negative side. The positive is that when you do break through whatever sort of ceiling it is, that then there aren't a lot of you, if you know what I mean.
Well, kind of, yeah. There's definitely a, I'm happier in numbers. So now that I'm at a stage where I'm in charge and I've got my own restaurant, I can make noise and encourage other young women to consider it as a career, because it's the making of me. Like, this job really brings me, even for all of the stress and all of the problems, it brings me so much joy. Like, yeah. I love my job. And I think that there's a lot of women out there who would feel the same as me. But unless you see an example, you don't know that you might like it, because everybody keeps telling women, you won't like it. It's too hard. It's all about the boys. And the truth is, and because that was all said to me when I was younger, the truth is that some women would just love it like me.
I don't expect you to have the answer to this, Anna, but I'm just wondering, you know, like, domestically, traditionally, women were charged with cooking. And yet professionally, men are the ones we see cooking the most, you know, on television,
etc. Well, Ray, you know, this is taking a serious turn, this interview. You want me to analyse, you know, society's trends. But
over the years, yes, yeah.
Listen, it comes down to one simple factor. A chef holds power, and we have associated men with power since, you know, for decades. Times are changing, and I genuinely believe that we can't expect, like, when I was a kid, my mother was a stay-at-home mother and did an amazing job of rearing us. But it's more expensive to live now. You can't have that joy of having somebody staying at home. And then you can't expect a generation to immediately adapt to that and just treat everybody the same and equally. So there's still like an idea where women are going to work and they're expected to cook. But I think the next generation over, it's going to be more balanced. You can't expect change too quickly, but we can expect change. We can expect people trying.
Monkey see, monkey do.
Like, and you know what? And I really believe in that. I really do believe that. Yeah.
So my children see me cooking, so they'll, you know, hopefully my son won't think twice about cooking when he's
No, but that's exactly it. No, but Ray, that is the healthiest environment is a child that sees both parents doing roles that are needed at whenever they're needed.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Okay, just might as well talk about food because it is the weekend. So what suggestions, you know, weekend treats, pizza now. Let's talk pizza. I see that Jamie Oliver is putting grapes on his pizza. How do you feel about that?
I feel I've mixed feelings about that now, Ray.
Okay.
Jamie didn't run that past me before he started sprinkling grapes on pizza. I mean, we all get very upset about Hawaiian pizza. I don't know what he
Yes, pineapple on pizza is just wrong. It's just wrong. What do you put on your pizza?
Oh, I'm such a classic. I love the old margarita, but with a little kick of spice, you know, like the Diablo type style pizza.
Yes.
But one thing which is great, which I think it's a shame we don't cook enough at home, as in actually make things. Anybody who's got a bag of self-raisin flour or a bag of plain flour with a bit of baking powder on site, you can rustle up a homemade pizza.
Can you?
You've all got, yes. It's so easy. Like, if you use equal weights of like self-raising flour to maybe like a yogurt, or if you don't have yogurt, maybe do about 200 mils of water or milk. Mix it together with a pinch of salt, so it's like a dough. And if you make a mistake and you've put too much liquid in, don't worry. Just put a little bit more flour into it, work it, and then roll it out, and it will be a perfect base for a pizza.
Okay, I'm a cheat because they do lovely Irish-made pizza bases, which I get, and tonight is pizza night in our house, and just all the dough on that, too messy, so I use them.
Yeah. Hey, listen. That's not really cheating. That's still using your head. You've got a good homemade base, and then you build some deliciousness on top of it.
Do you want to hear what's on mine? Because we've only 10 seconds.
Go on. Here we go.
Anchovies, chilies, cherry tomatoes, capers, onions, and an egg. There you go. That's what we're having tonight.
That's it. Somebody needs to tell Jamie. That's beautiful.
No grapes or pineapples in sight. Listen, Anna, we'll talk to you when you're home. When you come in, you'll cook up a storm for us. And good luck with Ready Steady Cook. Great talking to you.
Lovely.
Okay, great, see you, Anna. Bye. Cormac is on the way. We are back on Monday at 3 o'clock. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll talk to you then on Monday.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.